I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What does it sound like when you give a guest a brand spanking new Dual-lit toaster? This.
Look at this!
This is your reward.
These are Trumpy as well. Yeah. Nice bit of kit.
This is yours.
This is amazing.
Well, no, thank you for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. You're brilliant.
Thank you so much.
Everyone is so loving when you give them a Dual-lit toaster. Apart from Ed Byrne.
I'll take a Dual-lit toaster off you.
Honestly, such a mercenary. Anyway, something happened over the course of the series, and I wanted to share this with you, because our friends at Dual-lit have been telling me for ages the great thing about their toasters is that they last. And they keep saying this to me because toasters break. And I was always a bit like, do they? Really? And then, well, listen to this. Here's what happened to Ed Byrne's toaster.
It stopped working. Nobody fixes toasters.
What about Tom Davis, I hear you ask?
We had a toaster. Toaster broke. So we just started using the grill.
He used a grill. And this got me thinking. Could these Dual-lit guys be right? Could they be onto something? Is there some sort of toaster conspiracy? All right, that might be a push. I'm sure Janine Haroni's toaster was fine.
Can I say something? In all seriousness, our toaster is broken.
Honestly, I think I should do some sort of investigative podcast about toasters breaking down. Just call it Toast. Come on, you name a podcast after a breakfast meal, it's going to do well. Just look at cereal. What about Axel Blake's toaster? That's got to be okay, hasn't it, Axel?
It broke recently.
Are you joking?
I'm not even joking.
Has Dual-lit paid you to say that so it sounds even better?
I'm being so serious. It broke recently.
Here's where the conspiracy ends, though. You know what all of those toasters have got in common? None of them were Dual-lit. Engage smog mode, because the Dual-lit toasters last. They are hand-built in the UK. If you take one apart, which I don't recommend, but you can if you want to, you will even see the fingerprints of the people who made it here in the UK. And, here's the best bit, if you want to win a fabulous prize package from Dual-lit, including a four-slot classic toaster, including a kettle, and lots of other stuff, head over to dual-lit.com/toasterpod. What a prize. And, well, there is one other use for it.
If I don't use it, it's my dad's birthday in a week.
Mate, that has got re-gift written all over it. So what are you waiting for? Head over to dual-it.com/toasterpod. Do it now. Shall we get on with today's episode? Hello, Julia Morris.
Oh, when I need a laugh, there's a helping people. But Tom Fass talking to these funny people. He's asking what they find in the town stories. Can somebody yell out the name of the show, please? It's my mate, Wood Toaster.
Hello and welcome to Toast, the true story behind the nation's bread warmers. Not really, it's my mate bought a toaster. It's Tom here with you as ever, and this week I'm really excited for you to listen to the brilliant Julia Morris all the way from Australia, so forgive if it gets a bit glitchy, cos internet, and just a wonderful human who I adore. We talk about all sorts of stuff on the show today. She is in the middle of, or has just come out the back of, a divorce, so there's a lot of divorce chats, just in case that's anything you do want to hear, or maybe don't want to hear. We talk about the experience of lockdown in Australia. We talk about her being a triple masked singer, which is dead interesting. And talking about death, she chats about the weirdest daydream that you'll ever hear right at the end. And you must stick around to the end as well, because there's a really interesting revelation as to the thing that was in her house that she had to get rid of when she was doing it up. That comes towards the end of the episode. It's a weird one. We were doing it down the line. She'd only bought about four things on Amazon. So inevitably, it just starts with us gossiping, basically. Enjoy. I've nearly got a teenager. My eldest is now 11, Julia. So
but sometimes you're letting the club early. Have you been letting the club early?
Yeah, well, he's like an inner city sort of preteen. Yeah, brah. He's got a hoodie on. It's all like brah. That's how he rolls.
I'm like a hotel manager, but does all the jobs and serves mum cha. That's every meal time. because I'm I had a divorce a couple of years ago, and I never cooked all those years. So all of a sudden, I'm like, I'm in that kitchen. What do people do? What do you do? Can I not just serve the same thing every night? No, apparently not. Then you're doing manta. You want avocado? Do you want noodles? Do you want toast? Do you want like I'm a short order chef?
You need to have like. Actually, do you know what? I could be in the same boat. This could be quite a good warning for me, sort of pre-divorce. We've talked about pre-teen. This could be a good prep for me being pre-divorce. I think everything's okay, but you never know. You never know how thin the ice is. And should I think about getting the menu up and running? Because at the moment, I've got Tom's Tuna Surprise, and I can't race. No, that's not enough.
No. But steps are the stairs. We used to do something called bits and bobs. That's a piece of toast and some butter and some avo, and you could make a meal within the confines of your plate.
It sort of sounds like my career, to be honest. That's how I always describe my career. Bits and bobs.
Mine, chipping away, love.
Come on, Julia. This is a good look. We've wangled our way into an introduction here on My Maybot Toaster. It's the fabulous Julia Morris, who, you know what? We were pals when you were in the UK, and then you went back to Australia, and I think you've done okay. There's some sort of celebrity show that you do. I mean, it looks like it's done okay.
I get on with little jobs here and there and just, you know, hope that some of them last until I can eventually pay off the house, because I didn't earn well for years as a stand-up. We just keep that dream alive by going, this 80-pound gig is fine. And that time runs out a little bit. You're either going to, go somewhere or... And I kept changing countries, which did make getting any sort of savings underway. Just didn't happen. There were opportunities for work and off I went.
That's perfect, though, because what you do then, you don't have to rewrite material. It's a choice you have. Do I do new material for this country or do I just move countries and we go again?
Well, I did the same material for years, though. I was that lazy. I think I did that build up where you're like, I've got my gems and I was going to go from club to club and do that. And I think in coming back to Australia, we came back to Australia because we had Ruby in the UK. We had our little baby. That's in 2006.
Oh, wow.
And it was hardcore. My ex's parents didn't live nearby. My parents were obviously in Australia. The pressure was to come on, and then I got offered a job, and I was definitely feeling irrelevant. There's no greater time period, particularly for a female comic. Well, at that time, everyone was still smoking in the club, so I couldn't do stand-up. You can't really
Did that affect you? When you were pregnant? Yeah,
600 people smoking,
Because also they point at you. When they smoke, this is what I discovered, they all blow it, and they're all laughing away and blowing it at you, and especially when you're funny, Julia, which
totally. And then it goes up into the air conditioner, and the air conditioner blows it directly back into your eyes, which is fantastic. I look very emotional in some gigs. My mascara falling down my face from the smoke overload.
I do miss it, though, that smell when it was like the passive smoking was like, and I did smoke a bit as well, but it was like I'd smoked 20 or 30 cigarettes, and the smell on your clothes was... I never thought I'd miss that, but I do miss it.
And your hair, or have you ever had a jacket that you had worn definitely on the stage that night? It had to be dry cleaned. There's no way you could even leave it hanging in the house.
The thing that annoyed me most about the smoking ban was I used to have a bit where if someone was smoking, I used to catch a fag off people. Right? Can I get one of those? Yeah, of course, man. And they'd hand you a cigarette. And my little joke, just a little joke, right? But this is what you build your set on, your little jokes. And I go, thanks very much. Take the cigarette, and then I'd pull a packet out of my pocket and put their cigarette in my packet. That's a tiny joke. It's a tiny little joke, and I really dined out on that. And then the smoking ban came in, and I was like, well, I've lost a joke. That was my main. Yeah, exactly.
Well, also you're kind of trying to wind yourself into it. Can I laboriously ask if there's anyone still smoking, or they're probably outside, or are you just like, no, I can't crawl into this. I'm going to have to let this baby go.
But that's the problem, isn't it? That's the problem with stand-up, is it's very hard to let the babies go. So you took the babies with you.
Yeah, I had to kind of start to write material, and the way to do things here is I'd kind of skipped past the clubs themselves and then the tours where you have to write your hour and a half.
Yeah,
it's out in Australia and get into theatres. And that was really more the working clubs who had 600 seats. That felt like a really big room. And I'm in the middle of a tour at the moment where I'm doing 2,000 seaters. But it's certainly...
Nice.
It's not arena. But 2,000 is also still intimate enough to make everybody feel like they've had a proper slice. That I don't want it I can't be up in the gods. I want to see the person's face.
I feel like we should eventually wangle our way around to the format of the show. What would this being? We're several minutes in. You know, I don't want to try and restrict you, Julia. But I would say this links quite neatly, because the whole point of the show is that we go back through your Amazon purchase history, right? And so we go and we look at everything that you've ever bought on Amazon. And ages ago, years ago, I asked you to come and do this, and you said, yeah, but I've only ever bought a few things on Amazon, right? And I was like, great, that's going to be even funnier, frankly. No, it's perfect. And you weren't lying, because I've bullied you for years, and eventually here you are, and you are immune to the pull of Amazon. So first up, before we get into what little history we have, explain why there is such little Amazon in your life, please, Julia.
I think I just forget about it.
Great.
Maybe I'm an early adopter in the things that come up on the thingo. And then, you know what? My problem is passwords. Mm. I'm like, if I have to change one more password, I want more certificate. And then I write them down on pieces of paper and I can't find those. And then, I mean, the whole thing goes on. Really, admin is not my strong suit.
Okay.
I think that's what happens. I think if it needs a password, love, then maybe, yeah, right. Poor old mama. But I'm pretty sure they're super efficient and stuff. It's not like I must say no to the man. In fact, not only will I not say no to the man, my youngest daughter, Sophie, who's 14, she keeps saying to me, Mum, you're going to marry Jeff Bezos. I'm like, love, Mummy not marrying you again. Look, here's the thing. If Jeff needed a slightly older, kind of outspoken, undiagnosed ADHD woman with two children who's trying to pay off a house, I'm his girl.
Top of the
but
queue.
But if you start looking for that, suspect he's not.
Who knows what his filters are?
I said to Sophie, I can't travel the world with him. She's like, doesn't matter. He'll wait for you, Mum.
You totally can travel the world with him, because he's got a space rocket. So to travel the world takes like under a minute, right? You could have commuted over here for this interview rather than selfishly being in Australia.
Do you know what? I look great in silver. I'm not going to lie. That's a fact.
So many funny people buy things so strange. You're never going to plan it.
So you've had the divorce. Is part of your brain going, oh hello, I'm ooh, or are you just like, nope, that's it, no, absolutely nothing, closed off, shut down?
That's it. I think that's it. 20 years we had, which was, lovely and all the things that it was, but no, oh my God. So I shouldn't even tell anybody who's married this, but oh my God, it's the best.
Don't.
If you've had a lot of instructions and all of a sudden there's no instructions, I'm not kidding. You can see from this is my bedroom we're in right now. I wake up and there's like cartoon birds on my fingers and stuff. Don't have to listen to breathing. Don't have to listen to snoring. Yeah. Don't have to listen at dinner parties. Don't have to do it. Don't have to.
The one thing, this is non-specific to my relationship, but the one thing I must admit, and I feel bad for Beth in this as well, because we've had 20 years together, is that I've only really got four stories. So you're right, at a dinner party, when I wheel out story two, I think, oh, sorry. And I do the thing where I go, God, Beth, you've heard this before. And she looks at me like, kill me now.
You're living at the other end of the table as well. That's kind of, you know, that just got to that point where we were like, what are we doing?
Was it lockdown?
It was lockdown. Yeah. And I just said, I'm like, right, if you're not in love or whatever that is, like, you're not happy, I'm not happy, what are we even doing? And he was kind of like, I feel exactly the same way.
Oh, great.
And we sat on the bed and ordered bedside tables for a two-bedroom apartment that we then rented, and then went from place to place so that the kids didn't leave the house.
Yes. Can't believe you're happy. You're happy.
People can see it.
Oh, gotcha.
Like, I saw a friend today and she's just like, you are leaking it. I'm like, well, like, life is still difficult and tricky, and, you know, life with teenagers that were locked up, you know, in Melbourne, that we were locked up for 262 days.
I mean, this is, and this does slowly lead us towards the format, because the way that lockdown happened across the world was terrifying. But in Australia, especially, Australia was held up as an example to so many people here of just insanity. What happened? You were in doors forever. I mean, I don't know.
Well, that's when the parcels started to arrive, didn't they? That was kind of, that became such a highlight of every day.
We can see, look, here we go. So one of the, three orders. But as you can tell by how much Julie and I are already talking, we only really need one order for an hour's worth of podcast.
That's true.
21st of September 2020,
It was 21st of September. So by this point in the UK, we were kind of...
So we were in lockdown.
Yeah, we were fast and loose. We were all French kissing in the streets. We were brewing up a new one.
Sydney, that all on Bondi Beach. No one cared. But Melbourne, dear Lord, help us. We could not go more than 5 kilometres from our home, and you were only allowed to walk an hour a day.
It's
absurd.
And outdoor space. I mean, a lot of people in flats and stuff like that with no outdoor space. It's just, it's prison.
Oh, and if you lived alone, you were done for. Or you weren't. It wasn't until about the 90th lockdown that then Victoria allowed one bubble buddy. Because people were, like anyone who had friends who lived in Victoria, yeah, they definitely noticed that we were all going nuts.
I mean, to cut a long question short, what the fuck? I mean, that is mad. So September 2020, we were all brewing up a new version of COVID. You were still in lockdown. And yes.
I'd not long finished Masked Singer, actually, at that point. I did Masked Singer because I was like, how on earth are we going to earn? I was meant to go on tour in 2020, and it just kept getting pushed back a couple of weeks. And because it's so difficult to then, you know, muck around the theatres, and then just everything shut down.
God. So even your singers had to have masks on. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Definitely. But here's the thing. So they had this, they had a big finale, right? And because you couldn't get into Victoria, but they shot it in Victoria. Yeah. So as soon as all the masks were sort of knocked out, they all went back over the border and they weren't allowed back in again. But for the finale, we were allowed to go back in if we wanted to, if we were close by, and be in our characters. Because everyone had already sung the song of the finale and it had all been recorded. So
I see.
It was ready. So yeah. I'm like, I totally want to come back in.
Obviously.
I'm going to come back in for sure.
Yeah.
Well, that day, somebody gave 17 people COVID and we were all put into full-on, like, isolation. 1 minute I'm getting ready to get in a big cat suit. Next minute I'm being ferried quickly to my home and being ushered upstairs, where I then had to spend 2 weeks in a bedroom by myself. No sooner had that finished, I then had to fly to Sydney, where everybody was then sort of looked after by the Australian Defence Force and put into a hotel room for 2 weeks, because that quarantine that I'd just done wasn't enough in between the states.
That was a Victoria quarantine. You needed a special Sydney quarantine. Holy crap. And the thing is, at the time, you know, like over in the UK, I was towing the line and I was ultra like, no, this is what we have to do. And it's only as the fog lifts and you look back now and go, geez, guys.
Absolutely. So something I definitely will have needed is the first thing on that list
of
my Amazon purchases, because I feel like that would have been the treat to sort of send me off into starting to dress up again.
So here we are. Finally, we get to the first item of the show. We're only 45 minutes in. It is $71. You've bought the Hanging Garment Bag Lightweight Clear Full Zipper Suits. I love the way this has been a real problem for my mate Bought a Toaster. When I first did this podcast, products just had simple names, and now they put all the words into the name of the product to get the search.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to say all the words. Clear Full Zipper Suits Bags, PVA Moth-Proof Breathable Dust Cover for closet clothes storage. Oh. It's a dust cover. So you're buying a sort of face mask for your clothes here. Explain what's happening.
After being in charge of the homeschooling, I'm actually quite the academic, which not a lot of people know, but I got 198 out of 500 for our A-levels, our leaving certificate. So,
wow.
Yeah, I was doing the homeschooling, which...
That makes sense. Yeah. That seems... Well, you can learn for the first time.
And so I must have been trying to avoid some classes by filing outfits into some moth-proof bags. Like, I must have got to that stage.
This is what we did, right? You all, when you are in lockdown, you sort of take stock of your life in a physical way. You start to pore over your objects. And for me, it was the year I turned 40, and it was a real kind of like, it felt like
awakening.
It felt like a mid-show interval, man. And I'm like, I'm going to look at all my books, and I'm going to kind of, it's like you had a life audit. You know what
it's
I mean?
It's like having 43,000 photos on the telephone.
Yeah.
Like, do I ever look at them? Some of them.
No.
Wouldn't know how to find one. If you're like, can you find that shot from blah, blah? Oh, I don't even know what day it is. What's happening?
The only thing about that, and it's so true, the phone, especially with videos of concerts. How many times do I video bits at concerts? I'm never going to watch that back. I can see them. I can see Coldplay on YouTube.
I just said it to my girls a couple of days ago, because we've just, in shooting in Africa, the girls came over to visit. And we did a number of safaris, and you spend all this time trying to get the perfect shot. you never look at it again. I'm like, do we ever look at those rhinos?
Go on Google, mate. Tell you what, Getty have got absolutely loads of shots of rhinos. It's crazy. So the only thing I'd say is what you do want to do then, as you lie on your deathbed, which is still decades from hence.
Who knows?
When your life flashes before you, maybe that is the point at which you start.
Has it got a flicker function? I don't know. It could just literally go through the whole lot. Yeah. I'm just like, how many documents did I screenshot that I never got rid of?
Oh, screenshot.
I can't even. Or like, you know, screenshot ideas. I mean, whatever. You're just like, come on.
I found myself screenshotting our council tax bill the other day. And as I was doing it, I was like, this is a low point.
Oh, I even pay stuff at the bank and then screenshot paid successfully. Oh, like, God. Why?
So look, let's go into 2021 now. Okay. So again, now this is it, by the way. So this bunch of stuff you bought in 2021, that's all we've got for you on Amazon. You obviously went through a spate where you knew your password.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Definitely knew the password then, or would have changed the password again.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Fine. So the password here is obviously Julia Bezos. That's probably
like
the password.
Like one of them was, I was like, give me stuff, please, Jeff. Like it was all about, it's all to do with Jeff.
Yeah, it's all, you're all getting ready. You are getting ready for Jeff.
I've got an itchy nose. Oh, do you know what? I had to do another podcast that I knew was going to be in high definition. And I could see just this whopping great hair. And there was nothing I could do about getting it. I couldn't find where it was. And I think it's, but anyway, so then I did a thing and now it's itchy. But I don't want to talk. I keep touching my nose. So just,
you haven't waxed it, have you?
No, I've got it. Yeah. A lot of maintenance goes on after a certain age.
You know when a gardener turns up and they've got a van and there's just like strimmers? That's now how I have to deal with the nose, the ears, the back.
Nice.
Because I've got a low-hanging bit there at the front and that can really start to, you see the sort of side,
even
my
the little
profile.
Dots of hair then look like stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So you've got it. But what I enjoy, whenever I'm doing radio, this is just a weird little game. I've never told anyone this that I play with myself. If I just have a little scratch there over the nose, the person I'm presenting with, they will do the same. There is a nose mirror thing that happens. It's weird. It's a caveman thing. If you just do a little, maybe I've just got a little scratch there.
A little making- check. Oh, sometimes it's a little hint because you're too embarrassed to say there's bats in the cave. Which I never am. I just tell someone. Even though it's embarrassing, I'm like, love, bats in the cave.
Yeah, bats in the cave. That's exactly what it is. There's bats. There's traffic building up at that tunnel. You really need to have a look at that. But maybe it's because I'm making eye contact. Exactly, I'm doing that face.
Yeah.
I do it. But it's just a weird little, it's a thing people will mimic it back
what
at you.
What if it's wanting to be near your fulcrum? I just wanted to let you know I know the word fulcrum.
What? Hang on. That.
That's your fulcrum. This little bit, No, little bits of your fulcrum.
Well, that's where Hitler famously parked his moustache, of course. So we should... Right, and look what happened there. So hang on, the fulcrum, is that what it's called? Fulcrum.
Fulcrum, yeah, I think. Well, I might be putting the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable,
That's fine, I didn't know that. So we can now call it a fulcrum moustache rather than a Hitler moustache.
Oh, yeah.
Fulcrum moustache.
Get the fulcrum.
Rebranding it, changing the optics, man. All right,
Get the fulcrum on the fulcrum.
Yeah, fulcrum just sounds like a Kiwi saying a fulcrum. Yeah. Fulcrum. That was a good Australasian joke from me, guys. Those are few and far between.
Find us on Twitter and Instagram. At ToasterPod is the name we're trying to jam. It's simple like a sonny filled with cheese and ham. At ToasterPod, I swear it's not a scam, I think.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're looking for another podcast to listen to after you finish today's episode of My Mate Bought a Toaster, you should check out False Economy. They're friends of the show. They're very funny indeed. And in a way, quite similar. They go through people's spending habits, their shopping habits, the mistakes, the successes, the best bargains, the most embarrassing things they've bought, the weirdest stuff they've bought, all that stuff. Very good. Hosted by the fabulous Vix Layton and Andrew O'Neill. They've had some wonderful guests on, including Esther Manito, Callie Beaton, Lily Phillips. Loads of brilliant people talking about everything they've bought. I can definitely recommend, by the way, the episode with Catherine Bohart in. This is quite useful for me. I can go through all their guests, get the best ones. I mean, they've got a lot of good ones. Catherine Bohart, very, very funny comedian, and she went on and talked about her fancy exercise gear and constant need to buy chests of drawers. We've all got it, Catherine. Anyway, that is False Economy, available wherever you get your podcasts. So, look, September 2021, you've splashed the cash. You've gone big.
Oh.
You spent $50 on the Smeed-coloured hanging file folder with tab. This is beautiful. This is a filing thing to go in a some sort of filing case scenario. It's pink as well, so that's very on brand for Barbie.
Yeah.
You were ready?
Well,
tell us.
It was mainly chosen for the company name, Smeed.
Smeed?
Which I have been taken into the filing cabinet. What do you have for me today, Smeed? It really makes me laugh. It's something very simple. I thought the pink were... They don't even fit in the filing cabinet. They're too short for the... So they keep falling over on one side. But
oh,
it still makes me laugh to go to that filing cabinet for all those pieces of paper and say, what do you have for Miss Me?
Does it make you feel like you've got an assistant, like a sort of Jeeves vibe?
Absolutely. Very much a Jeeves Smeed vibe. Yeah,
what is a Smeed? But that's quite an analog. That's quite an analog approach to filing. I mean, I'm all in the Dropbox now, Julia. So you,
no, you've got to put it into that stuff, and then when you've got your, well, because I have not done any of the admin. You know, my ex did all the admin for the whole time we were together.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, I've been spat back into the world, like just not knowing how to do stuff. I had to upskill, there was no tomorrow. I didn't even know who we banked with. Oh, I just don't know. It sounds ridiculous. I know it sounds ridiculous. But every time, oh, my God, every time there'd be details, I'd be like, shut up. Please shut up. So
this sounds sort of like a member of the royal family coming across an app for the first time. Do you know what I mean? I had no idea.
Yeah.
This is what people do.
I ended up renovating a house because it needed the house that I'm in. It was a broken day. It was built in 1976. Nothing much had been done to it. We were going to do it before we decided to part ways. And all of a sudden, I'm kind of left with this big beast that didn't need a renovation. It needed a restoration.
Oh, good. Very important.
So during
difference.
The separation agreement and the divorce proceedings, I restored a house while raising double teenagers. While working like a dog.
What is... Do you have a PA? I'm not even joking.
Wolverine. No, but, no. But, that's the thing about being confused. You have to be your own PA. Otherwise, like, I wouldn't even know what to tell it. I even didn't know what to tell a PA. I don't...
Yeah.
The dogs have to be almost at, like, oh, my God, that needs paint. I've only learned telephone banking in the last year and a half. So now I feel very... Oh, I can just... I can.
Look at me go.
And a finger touch.
If someone said to me, specifically my wife, if she said, either we're going to do this house restoration or we're going to get divorced, I'd go divorce every time. I mean, I'd be out of there because it's hell just doing the house alone.
Hell.
And then dealing with divorce and then dealing with the teenagers and lockdown and career.
But wait, what about doing a full restoration where only one person decides?
Oh, now we're talking. See, that is it.
Yeah.
Because, right. This is becoming a divorce podcast now.
Hence the jizz-free zone that we're in. That's why this room is pink. Because, nobody's coming in it.
No.
Just me.
No.
So I'm I can take that back to white if I ever sell it.
Yeah. You don't need wipe clean. You don't need to be on your jizz defense anymore. You can, but this is a big part of it, right? Aside from the jizz, is the fact that you no longer stop persuading me to have a divorce, by the way. I'm not moving to Australia. It's not going to happen, Julia. This is not a date.
I can't help it. I'm already overheated. Can't you
please,
tell?
please stop. I have a lot of baggage. The hardest thing is everything is a discussion. And I don't know about you, but for me, ADHD-wise, I can't stay tuned for a sentence or two and I'm moving on. So to make those decisions is excruciatingly painful.
And I had so what happened was my divorce lawyer, there was some cameras up around my house and they didn't lead back to my phone. So I thought, I'm going to get rid of those. So my divorce lawyer at the sort of the height of the excitement of it all coming apart, and it wasn't that exciting. It was like, you do that, I'll do this, unreal. Yeah. And then she said, look, my dad's a retired builder, he's a handyman. I'm going to get him to come around this afternoon and just take those down, which was very sweet. So this sort of my divorce lawyer's dad turns up and I'm like, hello.
With a hammer, just a massive sledgehammer.
Yeah, pretty much. And he sort of looked at this house and he said, I'd like to ask you a personal question. Like, why would you take on a project like this?
Don't ask that question, dude. Don't ask that question.
And I said, well, no, I didn't take it on. I took it on with the thought that my ex would do that job. But now here we are. So, and he said, you know, he sort of looked at the house and he said, I think I'm going to help you. I think you think you're going to get really ripped off. Oh. And I'm like, there's no doubt. There's no doubt I'm going to get ripped off. So him, wait for it, comes out of retirement, Moshe. Yeah. He gets all of his buddies who are in semi-retirement who are all like the artisan builders who have been buddies since they were in school.
This is like a movie.
And all of his incredibly sweet friends all come to the house and they've done amazing cutting in the painting. They've just helped me bring this beast back to its original, like, full on beyond its glory, beyond its wildest dreams. And
I mean, I do feel like you've walked into a retirement home and sort of gone, right, come on, everybody up, over to mine.
Pretty much. But these guys are, I think that, and then I built them a little site office so they could go, because they're not all schools, they're like good old ciggy smokers. So they all go down and have their ciggies and they have their giggles and their little lunch and whatever, and I kind of lead them to it. And then on the round, if they need anything. And so slowly, you know, this home has been properly built, and it's been a treat. Actually, I've been calling my divorce lawyer's dad. I call him the building shaman because he's been through a very similar divorce. So
okay,
I know there was days when I would have been at my wit's end, or you know, there's certain feelings of urgency around getting a separation agreement in place because you're kind of like, but. And everybody feels that way. It's a high octane time. You know, like he would say to me, this is fine and this is when this happens. And by taking that time and sitting in it, that's the only way you're going to improve.
He's like a divorce doula, just spending whole time, breathe through it. You're having a sadness contraction.
Absolutely. Also, there's the lost dream of what you thought it was, you know, so there's that as well, this plan that you think you have for life that all of a sudden, you know, people are like, but you get to rewrite the story. I'm not going to have time to rewrite the story.
I'm going to Africa. What? I haven't got time for this. I think there is a definite case to be made for not divorce counselling, but that's someone who comes up to you.
Yes.
And doesn't actually, this has got nothing to do with separating, but someone who comes up to you and goes, you're going to get ripped off here. And I, out of the goodness of my heart, and it is someone of an older generation. It's someone who's sort of 60 plus, and part of you trusts them. We don't treat our older people well enough because they know stuff and they've been stuff and they've experienced these things.
And
listen
the
to them. They've got the gift. Listen to what they say.
And that's exactly, so I can show you around the house and say, I had this idea and that idea, but also they sort of gently helped me. They were so kind about it. They've never been pushy or, you know, but they'll be like, that wall actually needs a tra-la-la. Or if you do that, that's a waste of, you know, $5,000 when it could be better used doing this or that. Or, you know, is this a simpler way?
Right.
Because I sort of felt like I had come from a life of instructions, to then get instructions from someone else, I definitely would have pushed back against a lot of ideas in normal circumstances, but these guys were just, they were sent to me.
You need someone to tell you can't have a pool on the roof, not until you're married to Jeff.
Absolutely. But can you?
L-I-T is Julie Toaster in the house, teaming up with Toaster Bun. Oh my God. D-U-A-L-I-T is Julie Toaster, shout it out.
toasted slice from Tom Price. I toast a pie.
So obviously you're already a winner because you listen to My Mate Bought a Toaster. But thanks to our friends at Jewelit, you could be winning a two-slot classic toaster, a sandwich cage, a classic kettle, a pack of compostable coffee bags and a travel mug. Go to jewelit.com/toasterpod now. Good luck! Also, the other thing I like about this guy, who I'm now inventing in my head, like someone to have a good cry in front of. You need someone just to go,
yeah.
Oh, God.
He is exactly that. He's just such a sweetheart. And it's... You know, I think also having my dad's actually very ill at the moment.
Sorry.
So having a, I mean, he's not that actually, Moshe's not that much. I was only about 6 years older than me, but he's got children, and like my lawyer's in her 30s. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So they're like, they've taken me into their family, which I must say has been incredible through that weird and confusing. And I feel like that sort of person who didn't know anything.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know anything.
Yeah.
How am I going to do this now?
I'm a divorcee. So get me out of here. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Oh, my God. And these are the things that you would never, in 2019, pre-pandemic or whatever, you could never possibly have predicted you painting a house pink.
No. Dan and I used to daydream about each other's death. And what I'd wear to the funeral and... He'd be like, do you know, he goes, it's a lot better being a widow.
I mean, that's
really inappropriate. But we did have a very, there's lots of humour in our relationship as well. But yeah, we definitely joke about that dark side of things as well.
Just daydreaming about each other's deaths. That's amazing.
The signs were all there. I mean, I'm sure we were just as big a pest to each other.
Yeah, she says through. But ultimately you've won and that's what matters.
I mean, what can you do about it? I mean, give yourself permission to shine, Tom. I've said that for 75 years. Can't say it properly because I don't have all my own teeth. But
oh, my God. Yes.
If I had my chance over, I would have nailed that sentence.
Oh, you can't. It's gone now. It's gone. We can't do that again. look, I want to keep rooting around 2021 and
yes.
I feel like these four orders, which are the slim pickings we've got to build a show on, although it seems to be going pretty well. You spent $215 on a pair of boots, Hunter Women's original back adjustable navy boots. Nice boots, a Hunter boot. Come on.
Wellies,
yeah. Nice.
Yeah, they're pretty
wellies.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I must have been getting ready to kick someone's head in. No, I think there was a lot of rain. I think I do love that Glastonbury look of those groovy Hunter wellies and little socks folded over them, and I might have been having that last chance dance of what would I have been, 53, thinking that I could get away with a short sock and a, you know, God. I mean, I don't think I've ever had them on.
You've never worn them?
I'm biting real flat.
You've literally never worn the wellies?
I've plucked them on.
Okay.
You need a thick sock.
Yeah.
I mean, I can never find the socks.
I went to Glastonbury with a pair of really nice wellies once.
Did you?
2008. And I got trench foot.
Oh, well, your feet get spooky because they're in the rubber so long.
They get absolutely freaked out. Yeah, it was called Glasto. But it was trench foot because they were, this is what you're missing out on. Don't you want a man back in your life?
How many days? Because your feet are wet.
Correct.
In wet socks, in those
air tights. And it was one of the wet Glastos in 08, I think. And my.
When is it not?
When is it not? Well, it's getting a bit dry. Yeah, thanks to climate change. Thanks, carbon. It's getting, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's great watching Australia, by the way, getting a nice vision of our future. Good luck out there, guys.
Melbourne's so cold. We're on the outskirts of the fun.
Oh.
It's so cold.
Oh, nice.
It's brutal.
Oh, great. Oh,
yes.
Go and stick your diesel on. Try and get a bit more, you know, out there and see if you can warm it up a bit.
Digga, fire up the jetty.
So that even that noise of a diesel engine makes me cross. I was once, okay, now we're skipping to another fucking story. I was once on a camping holiday. Someone decided to set up their camp next to us, reasonable, it was a campsite, and their diesel engine was idling right next to us because guess what they were doing? They were powering their portable fridge.
I want to cut someone.
I know.
Do you know?
It's still. Yeah. The hammer is here. Julia has revealed a hammer on the video call. I just love that it makes sense that you always have a hammer just in case. Just in case.
Absolutely. Always have the hammer nearby. Well, I put up all my own pictures, so you never know when one's going to fall down. It is nice to have the hammer nearby. I mean, as if I would ever hit anyone with a hammer, I wouldn't know what to do. I probably would. I could let out all the menopausal rage. I'm hoping someone breaks in sometime soon.
Please, there's just a little sign up. You know how people put things outside their house, help yourself? There's just some keys by Julia's front door. Please come on in, help yourself. I need to give someone a kicking.
Yeah. I'm going to take the nails out too.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So the Glastic, so my right toe was numb for a year.
Oh my God, that's properly serious, Dom.
I know. Now I know what the war poets were writing about back in 1915. I know how they suffered.
Lucky you didn't lose your toe.
I was worried about that at one stage. The colouring was okay, but I can really...
Which one? Which toe?
Right, so not the one I write with. It was my right big toe. And I'm rubbing the bit now. And I still feel pleasure that I can feel that. There was a year of my life where what I'm doing now is just numbness. Right. It was terrifying.
Yeah, well.
No one needs to see Bruce Springsteen that badly.
Howdy, howdy.
So $200 on a pair of Hunter Wellies. Do you have a large wardrobe? We've already seen that you've bought the dust covers for your wardrobe. Do you have, because you are a superstar celebrity, do you have billions and billions of dresses for all occasions?
Stand by.
Oh, here we go. Oh, we're going on a visual tour here, I think. I feel like something's about to happen.
I'll talk you through it. What I did was, to make the bedroom clean, I put everything in the bathroom, so it may look a bit messy for a sec. I think you're going to enjoy it. Stand by.
All right, so we are...
Because when you say... So what I did was, when I got to, choose how do we live in this home? Yeah. What rooms do we use and how do we use them and why have a good room and tra-la-la. Yeah. And I had a sauna off the bathroom, the sauna of someone else's weird sweat off the bathroom.
No.
So I turned it into a gown cellar.
Oh, yes.
With a see-through door.
Yes. Talk to me. Oh, my God. We're going into the walk-in wardrobe. Gown cellar.
Yep. Here we go. Oh, yeah. So we go around here.
Oh, this is gorgeous.
Needs to be the light on the subject.
We are at a see-through door. Don't forget, you can see all of this on our YouTube channel, guys.
Well, I can lie on my bed and look at my gowns.
Oh,
I mean, I have a...
My God. You can see your gowns from you. This is awards-tastic. Oh, the pink, Julia, the pink. The glitter.
Isn't it? Well, the pink is the focus through the door. And then, of course, the shoes go psycho. And the bags are a bit crazy. And so that is my gown cellar.
That is amazing. And how often do you just stand there and browse? Do you just browse idly and just have a, yeah?
I look at it all the time. And also, I guess, I'm also doing corporate gigs and bits and pieces and photo shoots. And I just, it's like I have my own wardrobe department. It's amazing.
Oh, my God, that is absolutely see that? Beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, you can see through. I mean, also, who the put a sauna in there before? Why would you want a saunas are disgusting. Oh my God.
Oh, it's sweating. I mean, people love it and it's lovely, but I'm not sure that the house was as clean as I like it.
No.
Because
it's disgusting.
Someone else also, will sweat. Here we go. Let me put you back up in the clip.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that tour. That was an incredible tour here on My Mate Bought a Walk-in Wardrobe.
Julie.com/toasterpod. Come on now. Julie.com. Everybody say /toasterpod.
The final purchase, 24th of September, 2021. And it's a big one. It's a big one. And maybe this again points to you sorting out your own life and getting yourself organized. $1,693 on the Apple MacBook Air.
Yes. Yes. So with the divorce, they tell you to get a clean skin.
Is that right? Is that what they call it?
Yeah. Wow. So you've got to get a fresh new computer and a fresh new email and you start all of your stuff again. Well, for an idiot who's like putting passwords on the fridge and stuff.
Yeah.
Also, all of the devices that all led somewhere.
Yes.
We were all, like you in your family, we're all on family sharing and all that. So that was weird to try and work out what I needed to shut down. That was weird. So it's a new computer.
The tendrils of our sort of online life, the way they are all tied together. I'm pretty sure I've still got your Netflix account, by the way. I should really log out of that.
Undoubtedly.
It's true, though.
Across the distance. No one minds.
It's really, really interesting, though. It feels like you were sort of And this is obviously a joke, but it feels like you're going to witness protection. Like you've got to change your name. And
yes.
It's a bit like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I love that it sounds that cool.
1st of January 2021, the final item that we haven't mentioned. A new year 2021, a new you. You spent $89.99 on Paloma Picasso Eau de Parfum Spray. You bought 100 milliliters of smelly water.
Oh, it's my favourite perfume. I've been wearing it since I was 19.
No.
And it's... it remains that they're able to be smelt on me, she said with that secret smile. No, I can still smell it. It's often with perfumes, they kind of lift and go and I'm like, I love it. It's got a gentle musky vibe.
It's a comfort, right? The way that smells become a comfort. And I can still smell like a perfume of an ex. If I'm in on the high street somewhere and I get a waft, yeah.
Son?
And oh God, it's her.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously?
When I broke up with people, I'd go into the perfume counter and sell it. I'd be like, oh, yes. Like, I'd particularly see that with that. What was it? It was like Sauvage. It was one of those ones.
I love it. Oh, my God.
Fahrenheit. That's what it was, Fahrenheit. I smell Fahrenheit. I'm like, regrets.
How many people do you think?
Can you imagine?
How many people working in perfume counters at least once a month must get, oh, have you got any eau de parfum from Jean Paul Gaultier? I just need to smell him.
I only need a tester. Just give me the packet.
Oh my God.
And I'll squeeze it out.
I love it. And you can put it by your bedside table and every night spray it and you'll have dreams of him or her. It's the best way to
isn't it?
Cling on unhealthily to the past.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Well, listen, you let go of the UK and you went to Australia, but I feel like it's been 3 minutes since I last saw you. This has been so much fun to talk to you again.
I've loved it. I've been really looking forward to it.
Your Amazon purchase history tells us everything. I mean, my God, that it's incredible how little there is and yet how much we've got out of it. I feel like we've learned anything.
Am I going to have to purchase some more? I don't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. If Jeff looks into me.
Which he will.
And then he sees that. It's not very encouraging. I hope he doesn't think I am going to carry a sign out the front and get grumpy. It's not my thing, Jeff.
Jeff, if you're watching, Julia is ready and waiting. So what's next for you? So you're on tour, right, in Australia at the moment, or have you finished that tour now?
Tour finishes actually next weekend, which is really exciting and has been a super fun. It's been a super fun way of making some revenge cash, I'd like to put it some other way.
I mean, this is clean cash.
Very exciting.
So you haven't got one of those divorces where he gets a cut of everything you earn forever then? You haven't got those...
I really don't. I took an early hit to make sure that wasn't the case.
Nice. Oh, he paid him off. There was an NDA. He's doing a podcast right now. And then when are you, what's next with telly? When are you next doing more Australian I'm a Celebrity?
We head back to the jungle next year, hopefully. Mm. We kind of wait for a commission each year. So we say we're going back, but none of us know for sure. But the co-host that I was working with
has
changed networks. And so I am super sad to say goodbye to him, but very excited over the coming months where we start to screen test possible co-hosts.
Available.
Yeah.
We'll come over.
I
can get the big, because he's got an incredible jaw. I mean, he's gorgeous. That's the main
problem. He does. Well, it just doesn't have to be the same again either. I think in casting, you kind of think, well, you know, it's going to be some incredibly handsome, super brilliant, you know, veterinary scientist. So then, like with you, we can't have the same again.
Right, exactly.
And no, not necessarily the vet, but that brilliance and the looks and the savoir-faire.
Yes.
But I don't know. They want to go again with the same person is what I'm saying.
Fine, okay. If all else fails, just grab a hammer and put that next to you. In fact, when you have the hammer next to you, it's like Dr. Chris's right there. It's got a similar...
What do you think, kids? Yes, I know. Oh, doctor. No, that's right. It's not going to matter who it is.
See?
I'm going to turn up on the day.
There you go. Exactly. He's chiseled. Julia Morris, I love you. Thank you so much for doing my Maybot Toaster. You're brilliant.
Absolute pleasure.
Thanks for listening, guys, and thank you to the wonderful Julia Morris. You can watch that episode right now at patreon.com/toasterpod for as little as like £3 a month. You can support our podcast and keep us going and talking about rubbish into your ears once a week. Also, head over to our YouTube channel. There'll be clips from it up there as well. Just search up at My Mate Bought a Toaster, all one word, over on YouTube. And, of course, follow us on the socials, Toaster Pod. Did you enjoy that? I did. I love Julia Morris. I love you as well. Thanks for listening, and I'll be back next week with the wonderful Tom Deacon. All the best, kind regards, thanks for coming, love to the family. It's my mate.